Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Our scripture today comes from Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, we read it a little bit earlier, but for those that didn't get to read it with us, and those that would like to read it with us again, follow with us. It'll be Romans 13, verses 10 through 14. Romans chapter 13, verses 10 through 14. As we've done before, if you're able to stand, please do, for the reading of God's word. Amen. It reads, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof." Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. Thank you, God, again for another opportunity to bow our heads and to pray to you. Father, we ask that this preaching of this word here today would be done in the way that you would have it to be done. Enlighten and highlight the things that you would like to have shared here today, Father God. Open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds that we would be prepared to receive it. Lord, we need you. Lord, we can't make it without you. Bless us, God, that we'd be blessed. And for it's in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we do pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. For those that might be writing down a title or taking notes, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. The title. I have no idea how today's sermon is going to go. I had no idea how today's sermon was going to go even when studying and looking for it. I didn't know if God was just going to give us a service today of just worship and praise. I just didn't know. This week for me, has been trying. A lot going on. A lot of running around. A lot of stuff going on. And as I was searching to find out what it is God would have to be done here today, I fell upon these scriptures. And they spoke to me so very much. So very much. I thought I would share with you. Amen. It's time. It's time. If you take the time to go back and you look at chapter 13 and you start to go through and read through whole chapter 13, you'll see that here it is, Paul, and he's saying different things and all this. And in verse 9, he comes up with, starts talking about some Old Testament commandments. And as he gets through talking about those Old Testament commandments, in verse number 10, he comes up and he says, "But love, this love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." It's time. It's time. You know, time never stops. Time never stops. You ever been in a situation that wasn't comfortable, or been somewhere you didn't really want to be, and it seemed like time just sort of slows up, and you're like, Lord, I can't wait to hurry up and get out of, you know, like maybe Monday at work. Get to work at Monday, get there, and you're like, Lord, if Monday would just hurry up and get on. Tuesday, Lord, hurry up, and then what they call, what's Wednesday called? Oh, Lord, just get me over, just get me over. And then it's fast tracking, trying my best to get to Friday, get to Friday. And then Friday after lunch. Friday after lunch, between lunchtime Friday and 5 o'clock. Seems like that's the longest part of the week right there. But then it seems as soon as it get 5 o'clock, time speeds up. Before you know it, it's Sunday. Next thing you know, you got to start Monday all back over again. But the reality of it is, time doesn't slow down. Time doesn't speed up. Time is the most is one of the most consistent things that we have. It keeps on ticking. But as time keeps on ticking, we're getting closer to the next event. We're getting closer to the next thing that God has in store for us. Amen? Somebody ought to be happy about that. But as this time continues to tick, there's something that stays, that's been here just as long as time. That's love. That's love. And we see here in Scripture says, love worketh no ill towards his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It's time. If we start to look into society and we look at the newspaper and we read all this different stuff, we don't have enough love going on. Some folk don't want to deal with some folk because of the color of their skin. Some folk don't want to deal with other folk because of education or lack of education. Some folk don't want to deal with some folk because their pockets ain't as fat as somebody else's. Folk come up with all kinds of reasons to have division, but time is yet still ticking. And in this Bible, I've read that when the time does come, it's not going to make a difference what color your skin is. It's not going to make a difference how much education you have. It's not going. I haven't seen a thing that talks about whether your bank account is bigger than the other person. If you'd be in a different place, when it all comes down to it, we all gonna have to be together anyway. So why not go ahead and start loving on folk now? It's time. It's time. Imagine a place. Imagine living in a place where love would abound. Imagine living in a place where folk would have that same attitude. It said, no ill towards thy neighbor. Imagine a place like that. How different do you think this world would be? You don't even have to go too far outside of these four walls. What would Martin Luther King Jr. Drive look like if everybody loved? Maybe. What would your own house look like if everybody loved? It's time. It's not time for the sinner to fulfill the commandments. It's time for the church, for the believer, to fulfill the commandment. What does it look like as a believer, me trying to tell somebody else about this man I know named Jesus, if I don't first exhibit love? You know, not the nosy love. You know, the I love you to get close enough to you to try to find out what your business is. Not talking about that kind of love. I'm talking about that kind of love that says, I really don't care what you got going on or what you're going through. This is where I can help. If you need me, I'll be here. Amen? That is the fulfilling of the law. Now, verse 11 takes a little shift here. It says, it establishes this love thing. But verse 11 says, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Paul Paul says, now, I realize what time it is. And in seeing what time it is, it's high time. We're closer. It's right now is when this needs to go on, is that we wake up. That we wake up and really realize what's going on. I've seen a lot of things on social media, and I've seen even T-shirts and stuff that say, stay woke. Isn't there a song out? Song. Stay woke. Yeah, so it just went over my mind. Stay woke. So folks are saying stay woke, and I guess that's a phrase or that's a saying to say, hey, there's some knowledge or there's something that you need to know. Don't catch yourself falling asleep. Understand there's some things being said. Well, we could talk about that in the natural, but what about that when it comes to God? It says here, to awake out of sleep. It's time. It's high time. I don't know about you, but maybe folk done played long enough. Maybe folk have put on a front long enough. Maybe you look back at your situation and say, well, it ain't really that bad. I mean, we maintain it. We making it. But what if you used to find out it could have been so much better? What if you used to find out a lot of the struggles and a lot of things that we go through, you really didn't have to go through those. But you fell asleep. You know what happens when you fall asleep? Anybody ever had some chores and stuff they need to get done around the house? Amen. You raise your hand high on that one, brother. I heard that. Chores and stuff we got to get done around the house. But then after a long day of work, a long day of school, you come home and you're tired. And you say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take me a little nap. I'm going to come home, I'm going to take me a little nap. And next thing you know, your nap. You wake up from your nap and you're like, Lord, who turned the lights off? What happened? And come to find out it's the evening, it's dark. Fall asleep, there's a lot of things that you miss. This is what Paul was talking about. To wake up out of your sleep. Because when you sleep, there's a lot of things that you miss. But when you're awake, you're supposed to be alert. You're supposed to be able to see these different things coming your way. You're supposed to get things accomplished. And so here, we're in scripture where it says, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I talked about time earlier, right? Although time might seem as though it gets faster, it might seem as though it gets slow, it's really consistent. It stays the same. A second right now, this second right now is not longer than the next second. It stays the same. All right? And so if that time is consistent, when we're looking at this, well, when I first gave my life to Christ, I had this fire inside of me. I had all this, hey, this new thing, bam, 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 bam. And when I was studying, I learned that there's another event that's coming. There's something else that's on the way. Jesus has more in store. Well, when it says that the salvation is nearer, it means that the deliverance is nearer. It means that him coming back is nearer. It means it's closer now than it was 5 seconds ago that we're going to hear a noise, that a trumpet is going to sound. It's time keeps ticking. Not only is it getting closer for us to get to him, but we're also losing time to get ourselves straight. There's nothing wrong with hanging out and having a good time. There's nothing wrong with enjoying our family and our friends. But realizing time is still ticking. I don't know, you might have noticed. I woke up the other morning and noticed I had a couple more grays than I thought I had the day before. Didn't know where those came from. I don't know, you might have noticed. Getting up out of the bed might not be as easy now as it was some time ago. I heard Minister Grant's testimony talking about sleep. You might find out that now you might require a little bit more sleep than you used to. You know, our mindsets change as time continues to tick on. Because, you know, when we a kid, we're like, man, why they always want us to take these naps? Well, I got to go. I remember complaining about having to go lay down and take a nap. I wish at my job a buzzer would go off or something to say, everybody, it's nap time. Let's go. Look, I don't need no bed, no cot. Just let me sit there at the desk. I'll be fine. Things change with time, right? And one of the things that should change with time is that we ought to have a different mindset. We ought to have a mindset to do better. We ought to have a mindset to understand that it's more important now that we get it together than ever before. Amen? It says in verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The night is far spent. Anybody have the ability to change their past? I just needed to know if anybody did. Because I know I can't. That means that what we just did a few minutes ago is now in the past. I can't change that. You know, so that moment that I got angry, and that moment that I came out of my mouth and I said some stuff that I shouldn't say, and now I want to try to take it back. It's like the analogy I've given before. It's like taking a nail and driving it into a piece of wood. Or taking a drill and drilling a hole in a piece of wood. And you find out that you drilled the hole or you nailed the nail in the wrong spot. And so now you have to take the nail out. And you can put the nail in another spot, but it leaves a mark on the wood. Oh, well, I can take some wood filler and I can sand that down. You know, for folk that are carpentry, I can sand that down. Even for the hole that was drilled, I can take a peg and put it there and I can sand that down and shellac it and I can paint it. And won't nobody ever be able to tell that the hole was once there? Correct? Guess who knows the hole is there? The wood. You might even forget that you had put a mark on it. You might have forget that you misdrilled it and there's a hole there because you filled it in. You worked it out. But the wood never forgets. So if the wood is ever in a place where it's stressed and it just happens to come across the place where you tried to repair the hole, that's the weak spot of the wood. You can't go back and change nothing in the past. So it says the night is far spent. All of that's back there. It says, but the day is at hand. The present time is what we need to worry about, right? Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us now get rid of all the mess and all the stuff that is associated with darkness and let us put on this armor of light. In Hebrews, it talks about armor. Put on the whole armor of God. And how I'm putting on the whole armor of God as a believer will be there to help to protect you. Well, in the midst of the darkness, imagine an armor of light. And so if this place was completely dark, pitch black, and we had one candle, what good is it you being over yonder in that corner? To be able to see where you're going, you need a light. What is the light designed to do? Anybody scared of the dark? Don't want to raise their hand, huh? Any kids sleep with a night light? Anybody got to keep a light on in their bathroom at night? You do? Why do you keep a light on in the bathroom at night? She says she doesn't like to wake up at night during the dark. And so, Okay, so she said she can walk in the dark, but she particularly doesn't like it. And so when you do wake up at night and there's a light on, it's a guide, right? It does sort of show you where to go. Sleep with a nightlight, okay. So my point is, putting on the armor of light, you are the guide. You're supposed to be the guide. You mean to tell me you're going to come to church every Sunday? You mean to tell me you're going to come to Bible study? You mean to tell me you're going to come to Sunday school? You mean to tell me that you're going to call in on a prayer line and still not be a guide to your family? You're going to spend all of this time, all of this energy, and still not be a guide to your family? Getting all of this knowledge, getting all this understanding, but still yet not be a guide to your family? That doesn't mean that you're going to do everything right. That doesn't mean that everything is going to be straight. But what that does mean is that you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. The responsibility is that what it is that I do get and what it is that I do learn, it's my job to make sure I steal that in somebody else, to be that God. And so instead of being consumed with the darkness, let me put on this armor of light. It says here, let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting in drunkenness, not in chambering and in wantonness, not in strife and in envying. And so now to walk honestly, to walk honestly. I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Time is of the essence. I need to have my light on. But now I need to walk honestly. And so now am I walking honestly? That doesn't mean that I really deal with a whole bunch of jealousy. Unfortunately, that's something that occurs. Not too many churches that I know of still have testimony service. For whatever reason, they've cut that out. I think testimony service is important. But you got to be careful doing testimony service. Because some people take testimony as a time to be jealous over somebody else. Brother James talked about, I got a new job. Well, there might be somebody else in here saying, you know what, I want a new job too. And that's great that you want a new job too. But there's no sense in getting mad or jealous at James over the blessing that he received. Praise God that he blessed James. And James is your neighbor. You've heard me say it before. If your neighbor is getting blessed, that means the blessing is in the neighborhood. So what you need to do is prepare yourself to get ready. Now here goes the trick. Here goes the trick. Because the enemy will say, James got that new job. Dog, he got more money than he was asking for and all that. Dog, oh man, I said, here's the trick in the enemy, right? Man, I sure do want what James want, got. Right? But here's the honest part of it. My health was going down. I was stressed out. I had all kinds of stuff happening to me. And since I'm the head of my family, not only was it happening to me, it was starting to affect my family. It was, but see, people don't want that part. People just want the, hey, I just need the blessing part. Hook me up with the blessing. Forget what I had to go through to get there. I just want the end result. I'm mad because you got this kind of house. But see, you don't understand the nights that I slept outside. You don't understand the nights that my house was a cardboard box. I upgraded to a tent. But now you crazy over the house that I got. That's why the house don't make no difference to me. I'm just glad that God loves me still. Amen. So if we were to walk honestly, we got to deal with that kind of stuff. We got to deal with that kind of stuff. We got to deal with that kind of stuff and rejoice in the fact that somebody got blessed, that somebody's got something going on. Because it says, let us walk honestly, because as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness or chambering or wantonness, covetousness, not in strife or in envying, all of that kind of stuff. Walk honest. Let's put all of that stuff aside, because I'm using James and Mike as an example. Nothing against either one of them. But because I love James And because I loved him, I want him to prosper. The desires of his heart. If God says, if you delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of his heart. If it's good enough for God to bless him with, then as a believer, yes, man, hey, want you to have it. Amen. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's time. It's time. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, how in the world do I put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so glad that you asked. You put that on by simply following what it is that he says. It's not like putting on clothes. You know how you dress up? Let's say there was some big fancy event that you were going to go to, right? You going to throw on some jeans and a t-shirt? Is jeans and t-shirt going to be what you wear? What you going to wear? You going to suit, gown, tux, whatever. You going to make sure it's ironed, pressed, shoes shine, all that kind. You going to take the time to go get a haircut, get your hair done, do whatever. Young ladies, y'all going to make sure you get it all straight and do all what y'all do and all of that kind of stuff. But that's something on the outside that's temporary. And so when this is saying put on Jesus, I don't want you to think about it as like, you know, I put him on like you throw a coat on. The putting him on has to start right here. It has to start in my heart. See, I can put on Jesus and I can still have on pants and a t-shirt. Based upon what you see on the outside, it's not really going to tell you that I got on Jesus or not, but just because of what I wear. It should be based upon my actions and how I respond. That's what these scriptures are talking about. It's time to respond differently. It's time that things are not always the way that they've always been. It's time to do better. Because it's better if possible, then good is not enough. Amen? And then it says here, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust or the desires thereof. You've heard me say it before. All of us got issues. And when I say issues, I don't want to go ahead and mix words. All of us deal with sin. Every single one of us. Therefore, nobody in here, nobody has any reason to try to look down upon somebody else because of their issue, because we all got them. It's like, you know, somebody else's house might not be kept the way that you keep your house. Somebody else's kitchen might not look the way that your kitchen look. But if you take the time, you got dirt in your house too. Your kitchen might be clean for when folk come over and they see, oh wow, she got a nice kitchen, but you keep your bedroom door shut. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Or maybe your house is straight and all that other kind of stuff, but don't let nobody look in your car. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody's got stuff going on. Church, I really do believe that it's time. It's time for us to look at this differently. It's time for us to respond differently. Just based upon these few things that Paul shared, we can go ahead and fast forward that to 2017. It's things that we have to do differently as believers. Is there anybody that wants to see this world change? And if I can see that the world as a whole needs to change, I first got to start with me. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be perfect, but I first got to put a willing effort to deal with me. And once I'm able to start dealing with me, then I can start to grab somebody else and start to help them out in their situation. And in the process of helping him out with his situation, guess what's going to happen? He's going to help me out. Because everybody's got something that we can pour into each other. It's time. It's time. It's getting closer. It's getting nearer. Hey, we done played long enough. When I think about heaven, we've been talking about eternal rewards in our Bible study. And when I think about heaven, you know, I see it as this glorious place. I see it as this wonderful, wonderful place. Presence. I see all of this. But then I think about it. I've already done enough mess. Already got enough stuff that I got to answer for. I've already done enough things that's done taken some things away from me. I've already lost out on some stuff that I might not ever get a chance to deal with again. It's time. I've played long enough. It's time. I don't care about how much you done been to church, how much you done came to church. I don't care about all of that other kind of stuff, because I have never read in the Bible where it says God is saying, I'm keeping a check every time you come through the door. I'm keeping a check every time you come through the door. What I do see, he's saying, I'm looking at your heart. If you coming through the door just for somebody else to see your face, that's not important. You ought to come through the door because you got a heart condition. I don't know what they call them things. I've never been a nurse or a doctor, but what's them things, you know? They rub them together when somebody's having a heart, a defibrillator, is that what it is? Somebody's having an issue. They're having a heart issue. I don't know about you, but I need the presence of the Lord, because every now and then I need a kickstart. Yeah. I need a kickstart. If I leave it to my flesh, see, my flesh wants to do all kinds of stuff. My flesh wants to respond all kinds of way. My flesh, I constantly am in a battle with daily to try my best to keep it in check. But it's time. It's time that my flesh understand that, look, you're not the one in charge. I can't continue, as verse 14 says, I can't continue to provide provisions for my flesh and then get mad when I mess up. Because my flesh don't really care about none of that stuff. My flesh just wants to please itself. I was in the military. And like now, if you get cold, what do? You turn the heat up, right? You put on more clothes, you put on another jacket or whatever. And if you get hot, what do? You cool off, drink some water, you know, do whatever. Well, in the military, there was several instances of whether it was hot or whether it was cold. And I didn't have the ability nor the time during that particular to respond to my flesh. So what I had to do is that in certain situations, when you was doing whatever you was doing, not going into a whole bunch of details, but doing whatever you was doing, when you was cold, you just was cold. But you still had to do what it is you had to do. I mean the type of cold that your hands cramp up. I mean the type of cold that you can hardly hold or do whatever it is, but the mission had to be completed. And so you couldn't sit there and complain about your hands being cold. You couldn't sit there complaining about my body's cramping up and I can't do this and I can't. You had to look past your flesh and go ahead and do whatever you needed to do. The same thing. It's time. We all got issues. We all got sin. Don't let that run your life. It's time. If you got a smoking problem, stop buying cigarettes. You got a smoking problem, but you're still buying cigarettes and complaining about having a smoking problem. You're providing the issue. I got a drinking problem. Okay, you got a drinking problem. Are you making your own? Or do you go to the store? Because, see, what happens is that one thing ends up messing up another thing. Well, if I'm spending my money on trying to please my flesh, then, you know, I think my flesh likes a roof over my head. But if I done spent my money on all this other stuff, and now I'm short on my rent, how are you It doesn't add up. Well, Pastor, you know, I'll get on that phone and I delete the app. Take it off. Well, Pastor, you don't know because I'll get in front of, get off of the computer. I'm looking at stuff. Don't look at it. I know it sounds simple because it is that simple. Pastor, you don't understand. I love to eat. That's great. I love to eat too. I try to do it at least 3 times a day. At least 3 times. That's my goal. But I know that there's certain stuff I got to be real careful of. My latest thing is them Snickers Crunch. Have you seen the Snickers, the Carolina Blue Snickers? Okay, so there's a Snickers bar. there's a Snickers bar, right? And imagine like a Rice Krispie treat covered in chocolate and caramel and nuts. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love those things. They are delicious. But you know what makes them even better? If you put them in the freezer. You put them in the freezer and they get cold. And see, it's not like one whole bar. It's like 2 small bars. So it's just good just to just throw the whole thing. Mm. My wife knows that I love these. And so my wife, loving her husband the way that she does, guess what she did? She's a couponer. I got about 20, maybe more than that. This guy happy. I got a whole bunch in the freezer. And I really do believe that I could sit down at one time watching like one of them games, like that Ohio State game, or one, I can sit down watching the game. I could eat the whole, every single one of them. I don't know if I just spoke English just then because I was excited. Every single one of them, that means all of them. I'm sorry about that. But I got to pace myself with that. And so in my mind, I said, you know what? If I want one, I ain't going to fight it. I'm going to go ahead and get one, but I'm going to get one. Because if I want it and I don't get it, then the next time, I might eat way too many. So I'm going to just eat one. It's the same way in dealing with whatever issue any of us have. If I was a diabetic, if I had issues, if in that area I had to be careful, I had to monitor my diet or whatever, I don't even want them in the house. When I go to the store, I'm not even going to walk on the candy aisle. Not even going to walk down there. Why would I walk down there if that's something I know I ain't supposed to have? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's time. It's time for us as believers to be better believers. If better is possible, good is not enough. It's time to be better believers. Why? Because somebody is dependent upon us. Why? Because time is ticking. You could be the very person that God is going to use through you to be salvation for your whole family. What if to come to find out when judgment time comes and we're getting ready to close, and judgment time comes and God says, I was going to use you to save your whole neighborhood. You were the one that was supposed to be the one that's supposed to change the nation. You're the one that I was going to use for folk to have a totally different outlook. I was waiting on you. Now is the time. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. It's personal decision time. Personal decision time. And here at Love Fellowship Believers, what personal decision time means, that if there's something that's been said, something that's been done since you've been here today, that God has pricked your heart. I don't want anyone coming up here because of any guilt.